It's All Things Considered from NPR West, and I'm Arun Roth with a story you do not want to miss. Hang on for a shocking discovery that will rock your world. One little secret that could lead to financial independence. Wonder what I'm talking about? Well, that's exactly what we're about to talk about. Drawing listeners or readers in with carefully written, suspenseful headlines that get clicks but don't really reflect the content. Clickbaiting. Steve Hind recently wrote an op-ed in The Guardian in defense of clickbaiting. Steve Hind, welcome to the program.
G'day, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. I want to hear some of your favorite examples of clickbait.
I actually got pointed to a video that was on YouTube via Upworthy that was originally just called Zach Walsh Talks About His Family. Zach Walsh is a bloke from the States raised by two gay mums. And the video, which was quite a passionate a testimony from him, got a million views. It was rebranded to be called Two Lesbians Raised a Baby, and This Is What They Got. And with that headline, it got 17 million views. So I think a great example of how if you put a bit of thought and creativity into how you label your content, you can really transform how far it goes.
Now, clearly this kind of technique annoys a lot of people. You know, within minutes of reading your piece, I was hooked on one of these sites that does spoilers. These feeds, what they do is they provide the answer to the question in the headline.
That's right, yeah. So I'm looking at HuffPost spoilers at the moment. Huffington Post had tweeted out a headline that just said, "Can Yoko Ono do no wrong?" And HuffPost spoilers retweeted it with the word "no" in front. When you clickbait well, what you're making people do is think, oh, that is something I'd like to read an article giving the answer to, rather than knowing the one-word answer.
Now, of course, those of us at respectable organizations, we look down our noses at this sort of gimmickry, but you say, no, not so fast. So why is clickbait not horrible?
If you're a serious news organization that has, you know, real financial pressures, which I think is almost all of them, then those extra clicks are worth money. If The Guardian can announce the news on Twitter, then it's doing a valuable public service, but it's not going to get paid by advertisers. Slate have, as their most popular piece of content on their site, the Dear Prudence advice column, which...
I think the word help is in about 99% of their headlines.
Help, and then, you know, something about an awkward situation with your stepfather. But, you know, Dear Prudence is keeping the lights on. It's subsidizing the more serious work. You know, this week, BuzzFeed hired Isaac Fitzgerald to be its first books editor. It says a lot that, you know, the one organization out there that's pumping out more cat gifs than any other is also the one organization that's actually hiring people to write book reviews.
Hmm.
You know, you've got to check your pride at the door if ultimately what you want to do is get as many people as possible to engage with your story.
And how do all the clicks translate into advertising revenue?
Well, basically the way that advertisers pay for ads on websites is by page impressions. So if you can say to people, the average person that comes onto our site will read one article, click through to two more, and spend 5 minutes on the page, you'll be able to demand a much higher premium from advertisers. And I think that's why there's an incentive to combine clickbait to get people in with strong content to keep them on the site.
Steve Hind is a Sydney-based strategy consultant. His piece, In Defense of Clickbait, appeared in The Guardian. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.